In the dank, odorous forecastle, a big man with wide shoulders sat at a scarred mess table, his feet spread to brace himself against the roll of the ship. A brass hurricane lantern, its light turned low, swung from a beam overhead, and in the vague light, the big man studied a worn and sweat-stained chart. There was no sound in the forecastle but the distant rustle of the bow wash about the hull, the lazy creak of the square rigger's timbers, a few snores from sleeping men, and the hoarse, rasping breath of a man who was dying in the lower bunk. The big man who bent over the chart wore a slip-over jersey with alternate red and white stripes, a broad leather belt with a brass buckle, and coarse jeans. On his feet were woven leather sandals of soft, much-oiled leather. His hair was shaggy and uncut, but he was clean-shaven, except for a mustache and burnsides. The chart he studied showed the coast of Northern California. He marked a point on it with the tip of his knife, then checked the time with a heavy gold watch. After a swift calculation, he folded the chart and replaced it in an oilskin packet with other papers and tucked the packet under his jersey, above his belt. Rising, he stood for an instant, canting to the roll of the ship, staring down at the white-haired man in the lower bunk. There was something about the big man that would make him stand out in any crowd. He was a man born to command, not only because of his splendid physique and the strength of his character, but because of his personality. He knelt beside the bunk and touched the dying man's wrist. The pulse was feeble. Rafe Karadec crouched there, waiting, watching, thinking. In a few hours at most, possibly even in a few minutes, this man would die. In the long year at sea, his health had broken down under forced labor and constant beatings, and this last one had broken him up internally. When Charles Rodney was dead, he, Rafe Karadec, would do what he must. The ship rolled slightly, and the older man sighed, and his lids opened suddenly. For a moment he stared upward into the ill-smelling darkness, then his head turned. He saw the big man crouched beside him, and he smiled. His hand fumbled for Rafe's.
You've got the papers. You won't forget?
I won't forget.
You must be careful.
I know.
See my wife, Carol. Explain to her that I didn't run away, that I wasn't afraid. Tell her I had the money and was coming back. I'm worried about the mortgage I paid. I don't trust Barkow.
The man lay silent, breathing deeply, hoarsely. For the first time in 3 days, he was conscious and aware.
Take care of him, Rafe,
he said.
I've got to trust you. You're the only chance I have. Dying ain't bad, except for them. And to think, a whole year has gone by. Anything may have happened.
You'd better rest, Rafe said gently.
It's late for that. He's done me in this time. Why did this happen to me, Rafe? To us?
Karadec shrugged his powerful shoulders. I don't know. No reason, I guess. We were just there at the wrong time. We took a drink we shouldn't have taken. The old man's voice lowered.
You're going to try? Tonight?
Rafe smiled then. Try? Tonight we're going ashore, Rodney. This is our only chance. I'm going to see the captain first.
Rodney smiled and lay back, his face a shade whiter, his breathing more gentle.